Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Good morning, folks. Steve Williamson here, and sitting across from me
is Mike Cosentino, one more time.
And Gary LeMaster.
And our the brains behind Democratic Perspective, Gary LeMaster.
Don't call me that.
Or half the brain third of the brain behind Democratic Perspective. We want to talk about Greece, the euro, and the implications of all of this for the United States.
Yeah.
This morning, just before we were going on air, the European countries, the Eurozone, the major players have cut a deal with
the Troika.
Greece. The Troika, they call it, which is the European Union, the Central European Bank, and the International Monetary Fund, right? So these guys have cut a deal with Greece. And, you know, you'd hope once, don't you think, Gary, that at least once that you would have a negotiation that didn't go down to the small hours of the morning, yeah, and everybody playing chicken until exactly the last second. But that seems to be the way all these things go. And whether they're all civilized guys in very expensive suits or, you know, it's a labor negotiation, always down to the wire.
Wall Street is celebrating this morning. The markets are, our markets are all up.
Yeah, a couple hundred points.
You know, by more than 1%. The Greek people must be, you know, mourning.
Well, it's apparently the news reports are it's a mixed thing. They're both relieved and concerned. They apparently really didn't want to leave the euro. They didn't really want to go back. I was in Europe only 6 weeks, but you know the euro is, there's a deep attachment to being part of the European Union, and the euro is part of that for 19 countries. So there's, you know, even the left-wing government in the end didn't really want to leave the euro and become independent, even though that's kind of what they ran on.
Well, emotionally, but yeah, to watch euros turn into drachmas was a horrible thing.
Apparently they had done no preparation. The drachma is the old Greek currency, folks, that was used before they joined the euro. And if they were forced out of the eurozone, they would have to reintroduce it. Apparently the Greek government made no preparations at all to do this, which was a shock to people when they found that out. So what is this story about? This story is about a little tiny country. I mean, Greece has 10 million people. It's about the size of New York City and some of its suburbs. It has an economy about the size, as Paul Krugman said, of Greater Miami. I mean, it's, let me look at my statistics here, but the United States, for example, the income per person is like $54,597. The PPP GDP for Greece is 26,000. So they have about half as much money per person as stuff. You can't take these statistics literally, but they're the 41st country in terms of the amount of money people have. So it's a poor country, it's a small country, and it's a country. And I think we can talk about this a little bit with a whole series of dictatorships, many of them sponsored by the CIA. Every time there's been a reform movement, somebody's intervened. It is an embarrassing situation because in the 60s, the king wasn't even Greek. He was one of these imported kings, which the Greeks never really liked this guy anyway. They gave him a Greek name of Constantine II or something. But anyway, they never liked this dude. And he was plotting a coup against the democratic government because they were getting a little bit progressive with a bunch of generals. And he's ready to have his coup when suddenly the colonels revolt and have a coup first. And then later, there's a coup against the coup.
One of the things I want to make, get in here real important, because what you just said is incredibly important for the entire conversation, and that is the difference between Greece and the U.S., that everybody's making similarities, is the size of those of our economies makes all the difference in the world. What happened in Greece does not happen here.
The Republicans have were claiming that the U.S. was going to end up like Greece.
Never.
It can't happen, and we can go into it, Mike, and why it can't. The other thing is they don't have a history. I mean, their government, getting a constitutional government begins in 1974. They don't have a 200-year history and tradition.
The Republicans
of doing
can't
things.
Miss a scare tactic. If there's a scare tactic out there to scare the crap out of people, they got to use it.
Right, so you're looking at a government that can barely hang on, that is so weak and has continued to be sick. And whether it was a center-left government or a center-right government, they've never been able to tax the wealthy. And if you can't tax the wealthy, then you don't have any money for your schools and your pensions and everything.
I'm going to tell you how that is happening in the oligarch. An oligarch is an oligarch, whether he is Russian, Greek, or American. And it's the oligarchs that are pulling the strings, that you know, we have these little shows like Democratic Perspective, and we watch CBS News, or we watch Fox or whatever, and we all pretend that we know what's going on in the world. When these the super rich that can afford what they call material, they can buy weapons, they can buy armies, they can buy big things.
I think
they control
what you're making is a very important point. I mean, we think of the rich as the guys with the yachts. So, you know, you're in Barcelona, you see these billion-dollar yachts everywhere.
And they don't get taxed.
Right. And they don't pay taxes.
That's how rich they are.
Okay. We think of the rich as guys with lots of stuff. But the rich are also people with lots of power, lots of economic power. Right, Gary? And trying to tax them when you have a weak government, Greece has never been able to do. And because it's never been able to do it,
we can't do it here.
They've never been able to get even on a solid footing as the U.S. or England or Germany or any place else.
As Warren Buffett said, you know, he pays a lower percentage of tax than his secretary does. It's, you know, if you look at the rich and powerful in the U.S., they pay generally in the vicinity of 0% tax.
So in that respect, we are like Greece. But we can change that, where Greece was more unable to do
so
that.
So how does the euro work? Well, there are 19 countries that participate in the euro. And that means that you go from country to country in Europe nowadays, and you don't have to get new currency everywhere you go, and then you have extra currency left over. So for travelers, it's real handy. They're very attached. My impression in Europe is they're very attached to the euro. The problem with the euro is that one size fits all. So one size fits Germany and the other size fits Greece or Spain. So let's take an example. It's a little less extreme than Greece. In Spain, Spain is basically based, their economy was based on construction and tourism and agriculture. And when 2008 hit, and the construction industry collapsed, Spain went in its downward spiral, right?
And it was a collapse created in the U.S., by
from
the way.
Of the construction industry. Spain, the government, didn't have much debt at all. They were doing just fine. The government was then blamed for the crash that they didn't really have anything control over. If Spain or Greece, it was not in the euro, they could devaluate their currency. Now that sounds terrible, folks. Nobody wants to, oh, we're going to devaluate the currency. But what happens, and Canada has done it in a radical way and righted their economy back, I think, in the 70s. And, you know, what happens is, in this case, say Spain could devalue their currency, and then their agricultural products would be cheaper. They would sell more of them, and they could right themselves. So what's happened to Greece is Greece is locked into a system with much stronger countries. And so the argument for leaving the euro is that they would be able to have a currency that would they could devalue, and their exports would be more attractive, they'd sell more stuff, more people would get hired, more people would pay taxes, and they would get out of this downward spiral. And I think Gary can explain to you what happened to Greece. with the austerity, and we narrowly bit that bullet here, right, where the Republicans were advocating just the kind of thing that's destroyed Greece.
Well, I think Paul Krugman says it best about what Europe is doing to Greece. He says that, quote, Europe is acting like medieval doctors bleeding their patients. You know, they just can't seem to find enough ways to punish Greece for the audacity of falling into debt over the crash of 2008. Like I said, it was created on Wall Street, with a good deal of help in Greece's case by Goldman Sachs, by the way.
Helping them hide their real debt.
They had a small debt in 2001. And they were hiding that debt because it didn't meet the requirements to join the Eurozone. And then when a new government came in 2004, I believe, or 2002, they discovered that the debt was about, nearly three times what they expected. But it was still, somewhere in the vicinity of, it went from like 3% of GDP, which is a pittance by comparison to other countries, to 8.3% of GDP was the actual debt. And the Goldman Sachs created a derivative to help them cover up their debt. And, then they didn't want to tell the public about their debt because, they were hosting in 2004 the Olympics, so they didn't want to cause any publicity, negative publicity towards Greece at that point. And in 2005, the debt for that was restructured with the help of Goldman was 5.1 billion euros. Now we're talking about loans, you know, to show the effects of austerity. Now we're talking about loans, I think, in the vicinity of 150 billion.
So what's
or more.
Wrong with austerity? Okay, country doesn't have enough money. What's wrong with cutting back on your spending and radically cutting back on your spending? Let's say, really go for it.
If you cut back, you raise taxes on the poor and don't raise them on the rich. If you cut back, then jobs go away. So you have increasing unemployment. People don't have, if they're unemployed, don't have money to spend. So then you lose more jobs, because businesses have trouble making ends meet. If you look at Greece's economy, it's almost exclusively small businesses. Very few large corporations in Greece. The largest employer was the government, but that was primarily because there weren't large corporations there.
The problem is, with austerity is, it causes a collapse, if it's done wrong, it causes a collapse of the economy. As what Gary is talking about is, if you cut spending, then and you're in this kind of crisis situation. Now, there's times when you should cut spending. If you have really high prosperity, you're rolling in money, it's time to cut spending and calm the economy a bit. But when you're in a sort of spiral like this, and you cut spending, then it reverberates. So it starts out with Paul Krugman, I think, and Stiglitz and other economists saying, hey, wait a minute, Greece is being asked to do something that it'll never be able to get out of.
Right.
That austerity is not making things better. It's not improving their economic situation. It's making their economic situation much, much worse and making it more impossible for them to pay anything back.
In fact, right now, Greece's unemployment is amongst youth is close to 50%. 40% of the children now live in poverty as a result of austerity. Infant mortality is skyrocketing. People, you know, in Greece now struggle to buy medicine and food. So austerity is just going to take them further down that path.
And the overall unemployment rate is 28%. So when they look at the statistics, Greece is in worse situation than the United States was during the Great Depression.
We were complaining in 2009 about a 6 to 7% unemployment rate. Imagine if it had been in the high 20s.
So So the economists have been saying, hey, wait a minute, this is really not going to work. And when they did the figures, and now you have very conservative people in Europe doing the same kind of figures and saying, wait a minute, if we keep on this same track, Greece is never going to be able to pay us back. On the other hand, they're saying Greece needs to reform how it does things, and we need to make them do it because there's no government in Greece that's ever been strong enough to put in the kind of reforms necessary.
Well, if you got, I mean, the American depression was 25% unemployment. You're talking 28% unemployment over there. You know, so these numbers all are relative. That this is their third bailout in 5 years.
Yes.
And there's still no guarantee in this deal, at least not at 8:30 Mountain Standard Time here on Monday morning, that they're actually going to get the money.
The Greek government, right, has to sell
right.
this to the Greek people. Who what happens is Michael tell you is that. Suffering with all this unemployment, and in, I guess it was last February, they elect a left-wing government that says, hey, we're going to try to renegotiate this thing, right?
And if you're going to put money into something, if government is going to put money into something, then jobs make sense. The economy makes sense. Stimulus packages make incredible sense if you want to get out of the kind of situation that Greece is in, and we were in 4 or 5 years ago, 6 years ago, when the oligarchs that I've already referred to turned the economy into chicken soup.
I think a good way to look at this is the difference between the Eurozone and the U.S. In the Eurozone, each country kind of is on its own. And in the case of Greece, they're getting a bailout, but they're getting no debt relief at all. In the U.S., we have 50 states. Not every state generates a sizable income.
Well, that's right. All the red states are.
Most of the red states actually take in more from government spending. Than they generate in taxes. So imagine if Arizona, which gets about a dollar and a half from the government for every dollar it puts in, or Mississippi or Alabama, couldn't pay their debts. I mean, they get a huge amount of wealth distribution to those states from primarily the New England states, the blue states. Connecticut, Minnesota are the two highest contributing states. They pay in far more in taxes than they get back from the government.
The other thing is like Krugman's example is Miami, right? If Miami crashes, if the economy utterly crashes, everybody still gets their Social Security and unemployment because we're one country.
And we all help pay for their problem. Without tying them to any debt. In the Eurozone, there is no wealth redistribution from one country to the other. And there's a great hypocrisy in that a lot of the countries that are demanding such austerity from Greece had higher percentage of debt at various times. They were just lucky they didn't get caught at the wrong time with the crash in 2008. But Germany was rebuilt with U.S. money and never asked to pay it back. And they're benefiting to this day from that.
The Germans will argue that they paid back everything they required. I mean, part of it is a misunderstanding of a country with very, very different cultures. So you have a German culture which you pay back on the date you're supposed to, everything you're supposed to pay back. And they expect everybody else to act just like they do. That is, you pay back, you pay all your money back exactly when you're supposed to, and you do exactly what you're supposed to. But you have other countries have a very different tradition. I mean, it's like going into a department store. You go in a department store and there's a pair of pants that cost $19. It's going to cost you $19. You go into a souk, you go into a a Middle Eastern place, and you start, and they say, well, it'll be $19 for those pants. You never pay $19 for it. It's a negotiation. And there's not a right and wrong in this, folks. It's whether you understand where the other guy is coming from. And so what the Euro, particularly Northern Europeans, are saying is that we don't trust the Greeks because they'll agree to a deal and then they're going to negotiate the deal after the deal is done. And we want a deal that's done, written in stone, or we're not going to sign it, because otherwise they're going to go back and then they're going to negotiate some more and stuff. So that's why they put Greece in such a straitjacket, because it's a difference in how things are done. And also, I must say, it just really bothered me, the Germans being so self-righteous. I mean, they know what the Greek government is doing. The Greek government was hired to try to not pay all this stuff back and try to get better terms. And they act like this is some kind of horrible, unexpected thing, like, oh, gosh, they're trying to negotiate with us.
They're doing to Greece what the Versailles Treaty did after World War One to Germany. In all reality, that's what's going
in
on.
In all of this, and layered on top of this, is the corporate media, which you will hear me say, and it's the same thing, by the way, in Germany, as in the United States, that's somehow the oligarchs are paying and watching the corporate media tell us what terrible people the Greeks are. They're retiring at 25, and you know, the retirement age in Greece is 58, and I sit around a table in Cottonwood with a bunch of retired teachers, all of which retired in their early 50s. At least they left their main jobs in their early 50s. So don't, and the American economy is doing just fine, thank you. So it's not like the Greeks retired so early and they took so much money out of the economy. That's all corporate media stuff pushed by the oligarchs. And the oligarchs are taking, and I don't care whether they're American or European, are, as we've already pointed out, not paying anything close to their fair share of taxes, and own the governments. In other words, Merkel, as far as I'm concerned, and we can name any number of people in the United States that are owned, wholly owned subsidiaries of the extreme wealth.
Yeah, and the right in the United States says, it looks at this as we're a nation of takers because there's Social Security and unemployment and so forth and so on. So Krugman has one of his interesting little pieces in the New York Times, and he says, well, if you look at the statistics, the amount of money proportion to our gross domestic product has not gone up, that we're paying for unemployment and
exactly.
disability and stuff. It's not true that it's expanding. It's just not true. It's a lie.
And we're not Greece.
Yes, and we're not Greece. And we never were Greece. And part of it is a technical thing, folks, which is if you're locked into a currency, you can't devaluate your currency. You don't have control of it. United States, Canada, Argentina, everywhere has control of their currency. If we are in real trouble, we can devaluate the currency. Our exports will go up. That'll bring prosperity. That'll bring jobs and stuff. It's not fun, because then if you go to Europe and we've devaluated our currency, a croissant's going to cost you $20, but that's how it works. And so in the Eurozone, they don't do that. A lot of it's politics.
I want to point out that it's particularly the devaluation or inability to devaluate is a particular problem for Greece, because their primary economy is tourism.
Right. They can't devaluate.
And if they could devaluate it, then they could attract tourists from all over the world, because it would be very inexpensive to go there.
It gets very esoteric, Gary. One of the big sticking points was the main Europeans wanted higher taxes on the hotels on the Greek islands. And the Greeks didn't want to do this because it will cut down on their tourism. So there are these technical fights. The question in a lot of ways is what is the European Union? And a lot of it is the solidarity and the fact that France and Germany work together. And I think that Germany blinked this last time because they no longer had French support to force Greece out of the euro. They seemed determined to set conditions to force them out of the euro. And they didn't have any support from France. And without support from France, with France busy going around and trying to help the Greeks come up with a plan, that broke the kind of unity that's maintained stability in Europe since World War II. The size of the German GDP is about 28% of the euro. And I think France is like 21. So they're, the two of them together are very large countries with lots of production. And when they split, when the French don't want to punish Greece, like the Germans want to punish them, they seem to have blinked at the last moment, and Merkel's finally given in. Merkel's the leader now of Germany, and the Greeks gave in too. It's one of those things that had to happen, and it was just a question of when it was going to happen.
And I'm covering the Greek American difference here, apparently on the show this morning, and I want to get in here that the differences between the rule of law. I mean, Greece is the birthplace of democracy, but it's not much of a democracy in the American sense. The rule of law and democracy can limit the power of the super wealthy and the politicians who have been bought by the corporations. It takes time, and hopefully it's going to be happening here. Politicians, the Daryl Issas, the Scott Walkers that have been bought by the corporations, through the rule of law and through democratic process, the Greece can be saved, and so can the United States.
The thing is that, I guess to say my take on it, Mike, and then see what you agree with me, is that if the situation is bad in the U.S. in terms of rule of law, in terms of collecting money from the rich, in terms of having a real democracy, it's much worse in Greece. They don't have actually a long tradition of doing it. And none of the governments have had to rely on, oh, if you think that the Bush and the Clinton, these dynasties in the United States are bad, they're much, much worse in Greece.
Yes.
And until recently you had a center-right government and a center-left government, and they were all owned by the same guys, Mike.
Right, exactly. Italy the same ways.
Yeah. And there's a mentality throughout Europe that I was exposed to with some neighbors that kept trying to, they were from Europe, and they kept trying to talk me into a Swiss bank account to avoid paying taxes. It's part of the culture in Europe, across Europe, to, you know, find ways to avoid. If you have enough money, you can ship it out of country, put it in a Swiss bank account or something, and avoid paying taxes.
Here it's the Cayman.
If your country is run,
all our money's in the Cayman Islands.
Yeah. If your country's run by a bunch of dictators and a bunch of generals and then a bunch of colonels and then another different colonel and then a king that you don't like and then another coup, then why give the government anything? And there was an interview that I saw that was sort of interesting with a Greek citizen on the street, and he said, well, you know, everybody says, why give the government anything? He said, but if we don't give the government anything, then the government can't do anything to help us.
Yeah. The exceptions are Scandinavia, basically. The countries in Scandinavia pay high taxes. Most of their people, including
pay
the wealthy, actually pay their taxes.
Right.
As a result, they have incredible social services.
Well, that's it.
Free college education, et cetera. And they also rank on the happiness index that's done every year. They always are at the very top of the happiness index.
Well, that's it. You know, I've said before, I mean, I'm a socialist. I'm willing to pay taxes to see people get educated, incarcerate, and Medicaid. You know, if my grandchildren can go to college like they could in Scandinavia for those countries for free, then That's worth more taxing for me. But I do want to get back to the, and if I know that my bus driver has a good health plan and isn't going to cough himself to death while he's driving my bus at 80 miles an hour.
Look,
down
I-17. I'm a bus driver, and I pay my taxes, and I look around, and the rich guys don't pay any taxes. Why should I pay taxes? Why shouldn't I try to get out of it? And once you get that spiral going,
that's true.
Hey, that guy didn't pay taxes. I'm not going to pay taxes, or taxes are bad, and you don't see what government does with the money, and you don't care, then you get this spiral like Greece, where you have a weak government. And I'm sorry to say, having a weak government in this world we live in now is very, very, very bad idea.
I'd like to talk about, and that's true, but I'd like to talk about what you guys know about the deal. Because in some ways, these guys went from the frying pan to the fire. I mean, this is not necessarily a better deal.
Absolutely.
No. And there's
for the regular guy.
I mentioned earlier, there's an unwritten understanding that, you know, we were talking earlier before the show, folks. If you buy a house and it costs $10 million and your payments are $1,000 a month, and you buy a house that costs $250,000 and your payments are $1,000 a month, what they're talking about doing is not giving, they call it a haircut, not giving Greek debt a haircut, not obviously and openly cutting the amount. Because, look, the economists are telling the European leaders that the Greeks simply cannot pay back this amount of money. It will destroy their economy, keep them in permanent poverty.
Not without
so they
a
need
stimulus
a way,
package.
They need a way like to cut this back without doing it to set a precedent, because they're afraid, you know, Spain will say, hey, you know, we're paying it back just like you said, and, you know, and now you're not doing it. And then Ireland will say, well, wait a minute, you know. So they're trying to avoid that. So the only good side of it that I can see is that politically it brought the European Union, the Eurozone, to a crisis, and they decided to stay together, where they could have decided to split up.
Well, Merkel said the advantages outweigh the disadvantages, and she's absolutely right at that. That the advantages of keeping Greece in and bailing them out yet one more time outweigh the, and it's an economic decision. It's a failed Greece doesn't help anybody.
It's just to prop up the banks in the rest of Europe. If you look at at the New Deal that it was agreed upon last night, part of the, you know, some of the requirements are they're going to raise the retirement age in Greece to 67. The average pension, by the way, in Greece is
in Germany, by the way.
And the average pension in Greece is approximately 600 euros per month. That's not a lot of money.
About 900.
They're going to give the Troika is going to control some of Greece's most important assets. So they will basically be giving up a lot of their own domestic control of their own assets. And the killer, I think, is in Europe they have value added taxes. It's a type of sales tax.
If you go into a European restaurant and you spend 30 euros on your dinner, there's usually no tipping. And there's no tax on top of that. So a 30-euro dinner is 30 euros. They don't add the value. It's all built in with the value-added tax. So you don't see it. So prices seem higher than they actually are, because if you calculate what you would actually spend for a $30 dinner here, you know, you have $3 in tax and another $6 in tip. It ends up being 39.
If you import products into Greece, for example, let's say auto parts, you add a value added tax to those imports. Part of this deal is they're going to raise the VAT tax or value added tax from 18% to 28%. Now, all that's going to do is create a further downward spiral, because the more you raise taxes, the more you know, theoretically, the more revenue you have. But when you do that, you put people out of work, so there's fewer people, you know, who are able to pay taxes, and so your revenues actually go down.
I guess what we're saying, folks, is that the deal is, we're glad they got a deal, but it's not going to be great for Greece.
Part of it's
and it wouldn't have been great. It would have been terrible if they left. It's terrible, they say, if they stay. There's no easy solution. They're in for a very, very hard time. And
I think
the one thing the European Union did learn, and I hope it sunk into Germany and Finland and some of these countries that wanted to be so tough on Greece, is how furious the Greek people were with the enforced poverty and unemployment, and that they were willing to elect a really aggressive government that went and, you know, and did its best to get a better deal for them. But, you know, and you could criticize them because they didn't have the cards to get a better deal. They certainly did everything they could. And a lot of the stuff that the Germans are denouncing them for, this having a referendum and stuff, is stagecraft to try to get a better deal for the Greek people. It's not fun to watch, and it's kind of unstable, but this is a negotiation, you know, and they do their thing, and the Euro institution do their thing, and you end up with some kind of
specifically
a
Greece is going to have to sell off 50 billion in assets to pay down their debt. I mean, this is what's going to happen. They want the Greek. When we talked earlier in the show about the approval of the people, well, no, it's the Greek Parliament, I believe,
yes,
that's going to happen, and that's as represented.
They've taken out, I think, they said you have to sign off on all this stuff by Wednesday.
Well, they took that out.
They took that out.
Yeah, they took that out. But still, they want approval by the Greek Parliament.
In other words, it's the same thing that the Germans and other Scandinavian countries that are involved in this, like Finland and stuff, want it written in stone. They don't want the government to have any maneuverability. They want it written into law before they'll give them any more money. What sensibly should happen is they should write down the Greek debt, right? Don't we think that's really what has to happen?
And we should put the people from Goldman that helped this whole thing along in prison where they belong.
That would prevent a lot of this. I tried to explain at the end of last week's show how the mafia works, and this has been a mafia deal from the beginning. But before I say that, I want to mention that we're not done hearing about Greece. This deal last night, we got at least 6 more months of Greek headlines as they work through this deal.
It's a 3-year deal, so we're going to be worrying about it for the next 3 plus
years.
Worry
about it for 3 years, and I think it's going
to
be headlines.
I think the thing to take away, folks, is that there's a time for austerity economically, and there's a time not for austerity. And
that's right.
Yeah, and comparing Greece, which has 10 million people and the economy the size of Greater Miami with the United States, and saying we're headed, and it doesn't have its own currency, and saying the United States is like that, it's been patently absurd. But Republicans have been saying this year after year. We're going to end up like Greece. We're going to end up like Greece. And what do we have is unemployment's dropping. The economy's going up. The stimulus spending that the Obama administration put in worked. It didn't work well enough. It wasn't enough money. It wasn't delivered in quite the right way. But it kept the United States was in worse shape than all these countries. And all the austerity stuff has left them in worse shape than we are. Just doesn't work if it's done in certain economic situations.
As a result, our tax revenues are going up, even after all of the tax cuts of the Bush administration, that with the stimulus and the economic growth, tax revenues go up. People make more money, they pay more in taxes.
And
it's very simple.
And Gary, and what about like Social Security? The Social Security becomes stable for a longer period of time. Conservatives and the far right wanted to use this to undermine the whole social safety net of the American people, which is unemployment. It's food stamps. Yes, people need food stamps. And it's Social Security. They wanted to cut back all of this stuff unnecessarily based on a downturn in the economy. And as the the economy turns back up, there needs to be some structural reforms with Medicare and possibly with Social Security. But they don't have to be anything like advocated by the far right. And you see this being played out in Europe as well as here.
I have to say, the GI Bill, the stimulus package everybody knows but doesn't see it as a stimulus package was the old-fashioned, you know, World War II to Vietnam GI Bill. And we're talking about hundreds of millions of Americans that got educations, and one of them is sitting here, and as a result paid millions of dollars, or on an individual level, thousands of dollars more in taxes. But duplicate this, hundreds of millions, the estimates are at least 200 million Americans who benefited from the GI Bill, who paid, and the amount of taxes that they put back into the system is almost incalculable, how much the government has benefited from that little stimulus called the American GI Bill.
Well, and Steve mentioned food stamps. It's, food stamp program is one of the best stimulus programs in the country, in that we get it's something like $1, $20, $30 back in
easily
tax,
so many people,
revenue
for every dollar spent. the food, the businesses. I mean, all of exactly what you're saying. I mean, that's how it comes back. It comes back by going into the bellies of children, and the food gets into the bellies of children through supporting the businesses that sell it to them.
If you can help people get back on their feet, then they get jobs and pay taxes.
What happens, guys, in Greece when the unemployment rate among young people is around 50%? What happens to the talented programmers and everybody else in Greece when there's no job?
They go to Dubai.
Yeah, exactly. They leave. And then that sets Greece in a downward spiral of its best educated people and most productive people, in some ways anyway, leaving. And even if you're, even if you're a fisherman, why not sell your fish somewhere where you can get a decent amount of money for them, you know?
My big concern going forward is the attitude of the young people in Europe. You have a lot of dispossessed, unemployed, angry young people across Europe, in Greece, in Italy, in Spain. It's a growing phenomenon. We've seen this before, and the outcome is not good. You know, these people are getting angry. They're getting racist. They're blaming their problems on immigration. Where does the question I think we all need to ask is, where does that part of this austerity end?
Well, that's true, and that's where government, takes over and either becomes oppressive, which is what's happening and going to happen in places like Germany and France, to quash their right wing, and that's becomes just an unpleasant situation, unpleasant place to live.
I guess we can say kudos to Europe for at least coming to a solution. In the end, that's better than I guess the alternative of just a complete fracture. But this, as Gary said, this is going to be going on and on. There's a lot in the Greek story that we haven't touched on that's relevant to what's happening here in America. It is a lesson. It's just not the lesson that you've heard in the corporate media or from the Republicans.
Who we got next week?
Hopefully next week we have State Senator Katie Dobbs, and we'll talk to her about the current politics in Arizona. I also want to mention that we're sponsored by Democrats of the Red Rocks.
Oh, yeah.
And Democrats of the Verde Valley,
such as they are.
Their next breakfast is in September. I was wrong last week. I said August. It's actually in September.
Katie Hobbs is a Democrat from West Phoenix. Real up-and-comer. Hopefully we'll be hearing a lot from her. And
one
we're going to get
most
some
talented people in the legislature.
We'll get some insights into the Arizona legislature from Katie Hobbs and others. We're going to have it'll be a good show. Don't forget, you can find this show and all the others on vvid.org. bvid.org, where our podcasts are there.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.